It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
It's a confusing sport, and now you've added another confusing element to it for no reason.
Possibly one of your top five best rants ever.
Yes.
And if that little spiel is not on SportsCenter, this company is doing you and us a disservice.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Our buddy Bobby Weeks, the golf dude.
Yes.
He's always tuning around and he's at a golf cart and he posted on Instagram, "This is Martin. In all my years playing golf, he's the first cart guy I've ever run across. He was awesome, kept the drinks cold at Fairmont Montebello, blah, blah, blah. My response, no guy. In all meanings of the word. Cart guy?"
So you're saying, I'm with you. I've never seen a cart guy. It's always cart girl, right? It's always a cart girl or a girl in a cart driving around selling
drinks.
I'm
a hard no guy to cart guy.
Well, if you want equality, it happened in the 70s and 80s with flight attendants. It was always women. And then men said, no, wait a minute. I want to get in on that action. And now you see men all the time. Every flight generally has a male flight attendant. So if that can happen, why can't you have cart guy?
You can't. What happens is you get...
Are you down for cart guy?
Would you be cart guy?
Well, not currently. I mean, when I was 16, 17, it seems like a pretty good gig. Let's be honest. You drive around. The tips are generally pretty generous.
All right. Let's... Let's
I would have been cart guy.
Let's lay it out here, because I will tell you.
No guy.
Did you guys ever, like, what's the worst job you've ever had in your
life? I cooked dogs at the ninth hole.
I've had some of the worst jobs on earth.
I'll admit a couple. I worked at McDonald's.
I never did the fast food thing. I never did fast food.
It came full circle. So when I was 12 years old, I used to mow lawns for senior citizens. But I hated this old bat named Mrs. Franco, who'd call at, like, 6:30 a.m. and then I mowed over her garden by accident. She fired me, so that one didn't go well. I started working at McDonald's in Lethbridge because I didn't know anybody. We moved there. I was like 14, 15, and a couple years later I was a starting goalie for the Hurricanes, and people were like, I remember you. Like, I
double quarter pounder. I remember you.
No, I didn't stay that long. I only worked there like a couple weeks, but
actually it should have been reversed. Hey, do you remember me? I was the Filet-O-Fish guy.
The worst one is I used to work at the school cafeteria scraping plates at noon hour for $4 an hour
while you were attending that school.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough.
Again, a year later, I became the starting goalie of the Lethbridge Hurricanes, and people were like, isn't that the cafeteria guy?
Cafeteria guy?
Yeah.
That, you don't see too much either. You don't see too many cafeteria guys.
I make no apologies for busting my ass and making it to the NHL. So, like, I've had all the crappiest... I delivered pizza in Lethbridge. I think I told you guys a story where the bikers...
We've heard that story. And you just said, take it, and I'm out of here.
So I've had some really crappy jobs in my life.
But that was all over the span of like 3 or 4 years.
I worked.
You did work. I'll give you credit for that. But that's while you were like a teenager, and everyone has kind of tough gigs at that time. I had summer jobs when I was in school that were just outrageous in retrospect. Like, we're going to Woodbine on the 23rd. We're going to be there for the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. We had a family friend that owned a painting company. And I guess I didn't meet the requisite, you know, qualities or whatever to actually paint for the company. So I was like the prep guy, which means I had to be there from midnight to 8 a.m. At Woodbine, prepping for the next day when the crew would come in and actually do all the painting during the day.
Did you sleep once?
Like, would did you have to put the coat of primer on?
No, it was more like cleaning and prepping and taping everything.
Yeah, taping down. Yeah.
Like, I spent like a month.
Job.
I spent like a month cleaning the escalators because they were going to repaint the bottom of the escalators or something like that. This was from midnight to 8 a.m.
That is a gritty job.
And a lot of times I was there on my own. Finally, they get some guy who is going to work with me. Guy barely spoke English. The Chinese guy. And I'm sitting there like, we're not going to have anything in common. What are we going to talk about? So I wanted to call him back and be like, what are you sending another guy in here for? Just let me do this on my own.
I love it.
I was like Tom Hanks at Castaway. By the end of the summer, I had like a little volleyball I was talking to. Listen, that job sucked.
I'm having flashbacks.
Think about that job, though. I was 20, 21. All summer, all my other idiot buddies who either weren't working or they were working limited jobs, drunk. They're going out three or four nights a week. I'm sitting there like, I'm going to work at midnight till 8 a.m.
Right.
And the one day that I was supposed to actually flip it and show up like at 8 a.m. or something
right.
was after the SARS-Stock concert because right. I had taken the day off the day before, the night before, so that I could go. And I was there all day, and I was drinking, and it was a disaster. And I slept in the next day and didn't show up for work.
Yeah.
And just got roasted
for it. You fired?
I didn't get fired, but it was a conversation. It was a conversation. And I'm sitting here thinking, dude, like, I've given you 12 to 8 a.m. for like a month and a half. Cut me some slack.
That is pretty
gritty. Cut me some slack.
12 to 8 a.m. Oh, there's not a chance you'd take that job.
No way. Not at that age.
I mean, you played.
Well, you were in the NHL at that point.
Yeah, but you played. You played junior at what? 16.
I went up at 17.
You were 17. You were. 16.
I was 16 to 19, and then NHL.
Did you have any summer? Well, I guess you wouldn't have junior.
Well, my dad kind of gave me the break where my two older brothers had jobs, and then when my career kind of was going on a different path, he was like, "You got to start working out, doing hockey stuff,
you train and stuff." I started working at a young age, and I had no problem with it. But like, I felt like I needed to earn a little bit of money to kind of either buy gear that I needed, or like that's the type of thing. Like, I always wanted to pull my weight in the summer, and I felt like it would help me out. But man, there were some gritty jobs in there.
Well, the truth is, you don't really make enough money because you blow through it in like a month and a half.
Yeah.
Like when I was in school, I felt the same obligation. Like I want to work and I want to bring my own money back. And then you get through 2 weeks back at school and you're like, I got no money left.
Yeah, you got no cash.
Because you get back and you think you're a baller. You're ordering pizzas at 3 in the morning. You're getting exotic beers that are totally unnecessary.
You drain through that in the first 12 days.
First like week and a half, I've got no cash. Anyway, we got a lot to get into today because, again, like I mentioned, we're at the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament this Saturday up at Woodbine. And
yeah,
if you're playing
awesome.
In it, great. We look forward to seeing you. If you're not, you can come up and hang up and hang out and make donations and see a bunch of celebrities. And it should be a really cool afternoon. And Glenn Anderson's going to be a big part of it, and he's going to join us later in the hour. And we'll get his take on a number of things, including I want to kind of put him on the spot. Because he played in Edmonton. He's known as an Edmonton Oiler.
Yeah, I mean, he won a cup. Did he not win a cup?
He won in New York, a cup with the Rangers. But he's an Oiler.
Yeah.
And he would have won, I believe, 5 cups with the Oilers. But he was also a Maple Leaf. And we'll get him to answer which team, if he had to only pick one that could win a cup over the next 5 or 10 years, which team would he pick?
What do you think he's going to say?
I hope he says Toronto.
Yeah, but how long was he here with the Leafs?
Not long at all, like a year or two, tops.
He made the Hall of Fame basically as an Edmonton Oiler.
But Edmonton won their cups. They had cups.
Oh, so you're saying
I'm saying they got their cups. How about hook Toronto up with some cups? That would be my mentality. That's what I'm hoping he'll say.
Yeah.
He ain't saying it.
No, I don't think so.
You think he'd pick Edmonton?
100%.
I think so.
He's a Maple Leaf alum.
Yeah,
we'll
but
see.
He's also a Ranger. What if he just has the Rangers?
He could say the Rangers,
what if he
but
says
that's
Saint
not
Louis?
An option.
He played in St. Louis, too. I think he played in St. Louis.
Oh, I'm sure he did, but he's known as an Oiler first and foremost, then probably Ranger because he won a cup, and then a Leaf.
But that's.
I think he's also known for having finished his career with 499 goals.
That's right.
I'm not 100% on that, but I think he finished with 499.
498 he had.
Do you know what
498.
Do you know what he was most famous for? Waving a stick around and taking people's eyes. Like, he'd run the goalie, And he had the meanest stick I've ever seen in my life.
Well, we'll see what he has to say about these new slashing rules and them trying to keep up with the slashing rules. How might that affect his Hall of Fame
career?
He was
a beauty.
Did you see, speaking of the refs, and I wanted to get into this later, but we can do it off the top, that Dregs was reporting that Paul Dvorsky, former NHL ref, is going to be at the Winnipeg Jets training camp tomorrow. And he's going to be on the ice and essentially going through the rules and going through what the team has been doing wrong in the past. And I think this is a great, great idea.
I don't mind that being proactive.
I think it's a
brilliant
Winnipeg, idea.
You should have him in there because Winnipeg's been one of the more penalized teams in the last couple of years as far as...
Two options, bring in Paul Dvorsky or bench guys.
Yeah.
Say that again. Your mic
was
off.
A good point. Say it again.
Oh. It's one of two things. You either bring in a referee or you bench guys for not for taking stupid penalties. So pick your poison.
Well, I said on Twitter, I think what should happen here is teams spend so much money, they have such a budget on so many different things. Hire a former ref as your referee consultant and get him to
come out for practices,
review all the game tapes, find out what your players are doing, find out which players are getting dangerously close to having reputations for certain things,
yeah,
and study refs.
Absolutely.
Study every single ref.
I agree.
And
be
a referee consultant?
I would have it. Why wouldn't you? The referees are such a huge part of the game, and they never get acknowledged by the teams themselves. They just all hate them, or they have the reputations that may not be factual. I'm sure we all grew up in the same thing. Yeah. Coach would come in and be like, this guy's... He's tight on the yeah, sticks stick yeah, checks.
Maybe if you,
but who knows if that was actually true? It's just because he called one penalty, he gets that reputation.
If you just have the guy, and before the game, he could pop in and say, "Hey, fellas, what's going on? I'm with this team now." Is that even allowed?
No, you can't do it from that standpoint. But you could have your players always having the ability to talk to a ref and be like, "Here, I want you to look at something here. Why did I get this call?
You're right.
What's a ref thinking in this moment?
It is. I mean." Teams could actually hire former refs as consultants. The problem is the consistency. Because the three of us could look at one play, and all three of us could have three differing opinions. Me being the former goalie, so if I see a guy run into a goaltender, I'm like, that's goaltender interference. Or and O's like, no, he's just looking for his position. And you as a former defenseman going, hey, the D didn't push him. Like, so... Refing is subjective. I think I've said this before. I think the refs do a terrific job. It's just they get placed in a hard situation. They've cracked down on the rules. I thought about it last night and I watched a ton of hockey last night in all the games. And I thought, okay, yeah, there was a bunch of penalties, but I agreed with a bunch of them too, the slashing. Guys are going to learn to not whack on the hands.
How about today, though? This game in China.
Did you watch it this morning?
16 penalties.
I know.
Imagine trying to sell a new market. The most important market on earth is the Asian market right now. That's where every league is trying to find a way to penetrate. They're dying to get in there. And you sent over two teams. Credit to both because a lot of star players were playing today. Yeah. Like it was great that Doughty was out there. The Sedins were out there. 16 penalties.
Yeah. That is insane.
16 penalties.
That's a special teams practice.
That's a joke.
It was.
Like if you're sitting in the stands and imagine you've never seen a game. You're like, so this is what it is? They're just it's always 5-on-4? Like half the time it's 5-on-4. Is that
right.
What I'm
you
supposed
make a
to
great
believe?
Point. You make a great point.
Like,
it's unfortunate, but I think the fans... loved it. They looked like they enjoyed it.
Well, I'm not sure they really knew what was going on. I mean, this was an introduction to the sport.
Right.
But, you know, to use a foreign sport to us, let's say cricket. We were all supposed to show up, and they were implementing a new rule that was going to completely alter the flow of the game.
Yeah.
I guess if I had never seen it, I'd be like, okay, this is okay. But I might walk out and be like, wait a minute, they do that all the time? Like, that's the game. If you're showing me a game, you're doing this to sell me on a game, I'm assuming the product you put forth is what I can expect the next time I show up.
Yeah, sure. Because you're going to be thinking, wow, this isn't really up and down. This is like
a lot of whistles.
Four guys in a box, and it's like, is this...
I get
it's
that.
Not. If
it's
it was
a
great
point.
Game, 5-on-5 and 3-on-2s and 2-on-1s, you'd be like, this is up and down fast entertainment. But it wouldn't have been.
No, it wasn't.
It is a good point. But if I was thinking about it too, though, is 5-on-5, because the game is so tightly checked, is it that exciting right now? I know I'm talking from a fair standpoint. Like, you're right. Like, I mean, Austin Matthews can beat a guy one-on-one and McDavid and those guys, but ultimately those guys are skating as fast as they can and taking the puck to the net to either try and create a scoring chance or draw a penalty.
Well,
and
at the very least, though, there's a flow to the game.
Yeah.
There's, you can't ice the puck, so you better try to make a play. Where right. if it's a power play, that's a form of hockey, but it's right. totally different than 5-on-5. I mean, totally different approach. And
From selling the game standpoint, I think there has to be something. Like, you want to sell it to a new market, I would have liked to see in a tilt today. It would have been nice.
I'm sure that would have gotten quite the reaction.
Like, I know, what sells? Hockey or goals and fights? Big saves.
Big hits. Fast pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, whistles and penalties don't generally sell. We'll talk about that later in the afternoon. Did you hear Babcock on Hyman today? He was getting a little bit crusty. And I want to play this clip because I get the sense that this will just continue to be a big topic all season. Like, he's fully committed to Zach Hyman playing with Austin Matthews and William Nylander. And if you missed it earlier today, here's what Babcock had to say.
I'm not dumb. That's what I read that you guys want. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to coach the team, and you guys are going to write the articles.
Sounds fair.
How's that?
Sounds fair.
Good. Hyman's a guy who gets the puck back all the time. When you're a good player, I've learned from good players, they like to have the puck. When you have three guys who want the puck, like that's what you used to tell me all the time. No, put him on someone else's line. I want a guy to get me the puck. He gets the puck back better than anyone.
He's not wrong in terms of his checking abilities.
Tenacity.
He's very tenacious. He's rabid. He's constantly fighting for pucks. And he knows his role. He knows his role in the pecking order on that line.
It's just interesting because I sent a note to a buddy of mine who is in an analytics company that I trust. And he sent me a note back saying, interestingly enough, he's in the bottom half of the Leafs forwards per game at 60 minutes as far as loose puck recoveries. Because I wanted to see, like, when I talk about Milan Lucic in Edmonton, you know, the effect he has on the ice just by being there. Every time he goes into the corner, he comes out with the puck. He's a big monster and he can win those battles. So I was thinking, when I saw that comment from Babcock about Hyman, I was like, okay, well, it'd be interesting to see, talk to a company that tracks loose puck recoveries, because apparently he goes and gets the puck every time. It didn't match the numbers that they had, which was interesting for me. You know, that's an eye test thing, because you were saying, like, this guy goes and gets it every time and he seems to do that, but from the number standpoint, he doesn't really do it.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. There's more to it than just simply that.
Agree.
I mean,
great space.
Who's in front of the net? Who's creating space? Who goes in and takes out the first guy?
Oh, you talked about it yesterday. He makes little plays, or I'm sorry, 2 days ago. He makes little plays that create space for Matthews and Nylander, and those can't be discounted at all.
And you can't find them in that specific stat.
Exactly, and that's where it differentiates the eye test and the
numbers. I always get the sense when Mike Babcock's talking to the Toronto media, he's like, it's almost like he's trying to say, you guys have been around losers for 10 years. I coach Canada, I coach Detroit. So just, this is the way it's going to be, and you guys, I just get that sense.
I think there's, part of
it. Not that the media is part of the team, but he's like, this has been a bunch of losers for 10 years, and this is how it's going to be. This is what winners do. This is what winning teams do, and this is what I do.
I don't think there's any doubt that he's got full faith in what he does.
No kidding.
I don't dispute that he doesn't really care what's being written, but I also think it's also trying to send a message or sway the media, like, don't even ask me, because, you know, write what you want, but don't bother me with it because I'm going to do what I want.
He basically said, I'll coach the team, you write the articles, like, I know hockey, you do. I kind of got the sense, like, I know what I'm doing, like, leave me alone type of thing.
Well, and that's why when we had our top five members of the organization with the most pressure on them, I had Babcock very high on my list, because if you're expected to be a playoff team,
yeah,
and you're getting paid that kind of money, and you will tell anyone that asks you, I know, and you either don't, or I don't care what you have to say, then you better follow through.
Yep.
And listen, the media, you can't be petulant about this. I'm not
No.
I don't know who asked the question. I don't know who was in the scrum, but I hope they're not sitting there, you know, crying in the corner because he kind of snapped back at him. This is what happens all the time.
And he's allowed to. He does coach the team.
And he's allowed to have his opinion. He's allowed to put forth whatever team he wants.
Absolutely. I have no problem with it. And the more I think about it is he's going to stick to his guns until something changes. I think they had Auston Matthews scored 40 last year. I think something worked for him. And yeah, he's a super talented guy. But to your point, Hyman going and getting the puck, and the chemistry is developing with Nylander, why would you mess with that right now if you're very comfortable with that?
It doesn't sound like he's going to. It feels as if the top three lines have already been detailed. We know who is playing in the top three lines, and the fourth line is more than likely Brown and Martin with Dominic Moore.
Well, I think there could be a push for that fourth line center, too.
He's brought that up. Babcock has brought that up. I think they want Altonen to feel comfortable and feel good about himself. And
right. He's even pumping somebody else's tires today. Grunstrom?
Yeah.
Carl Grunstrom, who they took in the second round a year ago. Where's he playing? He's a winger.
Yeah.
Where's he playing? I mean,
he's not playing.
He's not making the team.
Altonen is interesting, though. I just thought that was interesting because the way that they've got him to come over, the way that they're trending. I mean, you go out and sign Dominic Moore for a reason. I don't think you...
But it wasn't a huge commitment. It was 1 year at $1 million, I believe.
Right. So it's if Altonen ends up settling in and pushing him out, then, you know, Dominic Moore, unfortunately, would probably be waived and would have to play with the Marlies.
Or the 13th forward.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to have
someone... They may carry 14.
Yeah, they're going to have depth players.
Just where we talked about, where's Josh Levo going to play?
He could be the 13th or 14th guy.
Yeah.
And they still got a bunch of preseason games left, so you knock on wood, but there could be an injury or two before opening night.
I'm calling the game tomorrow, and I was doing a bunch of reading about it today, and just, I mean, they're carrying with 49 guys. Like,
they're playing six games in like nine nights.
He's like, I'm not trimming down until all this nonsense is done. Like, now I think if you're the organization, he's right. Two teams, and play it right through, gets... And knock on wood, hope for health. That's
How would you like to be in Vancouver's organization or L.A.? They've got their teams over in Asia. And then there's a group that are just stuck back at home. They must be thinking, I'm not on the team.
They're playing last night. Vancouver played at home last night and then played...
No, they were in Calgary
Calgary and then played in Asia...
This morning at 4 a.m.
8 hours later.
Yeah.
You know?
So funny.
So Travis Green is in China.
He looks terrible. I sent him a note.
Well, he's in China, dude. Like, you know, he's trying to catch up.
Yeah, like, what is he? He's not making an... I'll tell you one guy, he made an easy assessment. There's this Brock Besser out in Van.
Yeah, Besser.
Besser?
Yeah, Brock
Besser. He's really, really
good. This guy can shoot the puck.
He's likely going to make the team. He scored again last night. And
he's awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty high on him out there. Glenn Anderson will join us, Hockey Hall of Famer, six-time Stanley Cup champ. He's going to be a big part of the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. We're there on Saturday at Woodbine. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. We'll catch up with him next. Jeff Bratt tweeting in. He's a host and commentator and handicapper for Woodbine Entertainment Group. And he's asking the boys, will we be taking the time in between games on Saturday, because we're there for the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer, to play the Ponies? That is a strong yes guy.
I know one guy who will be. Yes.
Get the Ponies ready, Jeffrey, because we will be making an appearance.
What do you know about ponies?
I don't know anything about ponies. I don't pretend to know anything about ponies, but I'm willing to go in there and watch them race.
I told you I hung out with a guy named Frank Fontana. He's a handicapper in Edmonton. Great guy.
Yeah.
Take us for dinner. He's all set up there. And then he would give us his... He writes for like the Edmonton Sun there.
What are the qualifications to call yourself a handicapper?
I don't know.
Like you hang around the track, so now you're a handicapper?
This guy was well connected and well known there.
I want to get to the bottom of that. Like, how do you... That's like the diploma, right? Like, how do I get to a point where I can put it on my Wikipedia page, radio host and handicapper?
I don't know. Like, how do you...
I don't know.
You don't get a degree from, like, DeVry for it.
Exactly.
You just have to be a degenerate and know enough people, I think.
And follow the ponies or the ball games or the hockey games or whatever, and you can be a professional handicapper. That is my dream in life. Glenn Anderson, six-time Cup winner, Hall of Famer, former Leaf. Only team that really matters on his resume. He'll join us in 2 minutes. Ray Ferraro will join us in about a half an hour. Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. Herm in about an hour. Speaking of gambling and handicapping, I want to get into what Richard Sherman was saying about injury reports and the hypocrisy of the NFL. And he went on a bit of a rant saying, let's be honest, the only reason you disclose all of the injury reports is so that gamblers have the necessary information to place lines and make sure the odds are right.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, that's exactly why. But he is pointing out the hypocrisy of the NFL because they don't allow... They claim that they're anti-sports gambling and that they're not affiliated with it and they don't want anything to do with it.
That's all there is.
But like, they benefit so greatly from it.
You want to catch the NHL up to any of these other sports ahead of them? Get gambling involved.
Gambling and fantasy. Now, where he lost me was
what do you
he
mean,
started...
No fantasy hockey?
Yeah, fantasy's a huge business. Fantasy sports are huge.
Oh, I thought you were saying that there's no fantasy hockey. There's fantasy hockey, right?
No, I'm talking about like...
Legalized one.
Generating revenue and accepting that gambling and fantasy sports is a huge part of the interest level of fans.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody, but there are a lot of people that watch the NFL or watch the NHL, MLB, NBA, simply because they're in a pool. Or because they have some money on the line.
My father-in-law was watching the Rams the other day. He's like, I can't have this guy score a touchdown. I'm going to lose. Same thing. Like all my buddies that I'm around, I'm like, they're playing one-on-one versus somebody that
I'm
week.
I'm really, really glad I'm not into that. Like gambling.
Neither am I. But like Roberto Luongo tweets out, like, hey, I've got a...
So you guys have no interest in it?
No, in gambling? No way.
Well, not even gambling, just pools, like fantasy.
I was invited. I get invited to pools all the time. I just can't do it.
But what is it? Like, why is there a holdup for you? I'm going to try to get you guys involved this year. I'm going to sell you on the idea of being fantasy players.
Can't do it.
I don't want to track it. I don't care. We're busy enough with all we do. Who the hell wants to do that? I don't.
such a ridiculous explanation.
Why is that ridiculous?
So just laziness. That's why you don't want to do it.
Laziness? Dude,
basically.
It's a long year with TV, radio, and I don't need to be tracking fantasy hockey teams at all.
But it would actually help you guys. Like, you're already on top of a lot of things, but then you're tracking the stats that much more. You're following exactly
what is
going on in the league.
We track the stats. I think we'd probably be pretty good at it.
We played in the National Hockey League. Do you think we need to say to Daryl in accounting, hey, I beat you in fantasy last night?
Well, it's fun. Like, what are you, too cool for that?
Yeah, loser if
but
you
I don't
that.
Even understand how you play. Like, that's the
it's
premise
simple.
Of it.
It's goals, assists, maybe power play points, if goalies are included,
hey,
shutouts.
I've got more points than you in fantasy, pal.
Yeah,
I get messages all the time, like, should I take Quick tonight or Ben Bishop? And I'm like, I don't understand what you're talking
What's
about.
So hard to figure out there? Who do you think is going to have a better night? Bishop or Quick? That specific night. Who do you think is going to play better? That's what it is. That's what they're asking.
Money. Pick yourself.
That's it.
What do you mean, pick yourself? What does that mean?
Don't ask for advice. Just
I
make
would
your
pick
own
Glenn
pick.
Anderson in a pool any day.
I would too. Hockey Hall of Famer, six-time Cup champion. I'll bet you he plays fantasy hockey. You want to bet
on
that?
I'll bet you $100 he doesn't.
I'll put some cash down on that. He's going to be a big part of the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer this weekend. Have you ever been in any fantasy hockey pools?
Yes, I have been in them, but not recently.
All I needed was one at some point, Noodles. Pass that C-note down, buddy.
Noodles, how are you, buddy?
Not too bad. How you doing, Andy?
Everything's good. It sounds like you guys are having a blast.
Well, we enjoy ourselves here.
We have a awesome. Good time, yes. And we're going to be with you this weekend. We're looking forward to it. How are the ball hockey skills?
Well, I tell you, we did an event in Helsinki with a kid you might know named Esa Tikkanen. And he and I were the only non-NHL players in the current NHL roster this year. So all the Finnish All-Stars were there, and it was...
No guy.
There goes the horn.
So good.
You knew it. He probably had the greatest story.
I want to ask him.
We'll see if we can get him back.
Because I want to ask about Esa Tikkanen, because he speaks like five languages, but you can't understand any one of them.
So he hasn't mastered any of them?
Because I think he mixes them all together. That's the biggest challenge.
I told you he had played fantasy hockey before.
Probably a long time ago or something.
I told you.
I told you. People ask me all the time. I just don't think I could do it. It is a big commitment, isn't it?
Well, it can be if you have waiver wires and stuff. I'm terrible at it.
Waiver wires.
Yeah, add and drop players.
You know what? Add and drop players. Because, like, I guarantee you, like, Thomas Vanek would come up and you'd have to grab him that night.
Pick him up. You got a guy on IR or something. Somebody that's injured. You place a guy on IR.
I'll tell you what. Don't you do a hockey pool with your dad?
Yes, I do. Do you want in?
Your dad and his buddies.
Absolutely.
I'll come with you and we'll have a bunch of beers and I'll join the stupid pool.
There we go.
He would be the worst in it.
Is it got a chip in money?
Yeah, it's money, but it's like $100 or something. And it's simple, though. That
make it 500 and we'll do it.
Okay, actually, I'll get you in a different one that we're doing.
Your buddies?
Yeah, right. It's more extensive, and I'll get you hooked here. I think we have Glenn Anderson back. Do we have you, Glenn? Glenn, got you?
Yeah, we're there. We got a little technical difficulties.
Yeah, oh, it happens sometimes. It seems to happen with our show, like,
every day.
Guest and a half, I would say. But, Noodles, you wanted to ask him something about Esa
Tikkanen. Well, you just mentioned that you were with Esa Tikkanen. Now, this guy speaks like five languages, but are any of them clear that anybody can understand?
Not one. So, good luck talking to him because, well, it's very entertaining. There's no question about it. You're a Broadway play because there's so much action going on, and he sings sometimes, and he's talking Finnish. English, half Finnish, half Swedish, half Norwegian. He's got a little bit of everything happening, but very entertaining all the time.
With Hall of Famer Glenn Anderson, he'll be a big part of the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer this Saturday at Woodbine Racetrack. We're all going to be down there. We're looking forward to it. The big story in the hockey world right now is the different rules that are being cracked down on by the refs, and specifically the slashing rule. We brought your name up earlier, and we are quite curious to find out your take on this. If you were not allowed to slash when you were playing, how different would your career have been?
Well, I'd have less padding on my arms because the amount of slashes that we did receive, too. But I watched that game over in Beijing on TV a little bit this morning, and holy smokes, I could not believe the amount of penalties that were called. It was just like one right after another. I mean, basically, it becomes a special team NHL. You know, your penalty kill and power play.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. It's not enjoyable.
Yeah, it was amazing, just unreal. Quite a different game, no question about it.
Well, and we were mentioning, Glenn, that's the biggest thing. You're trying to crack into that market as far as popularity and bring something new to a new country and right in front of their eyes. And I don't know if that's the type of game you want to sell where it's 16 penalties. So that was the big discussion before you came on. I mean, what's your thought process on that?
Well, I think you're taking away a lot of the game. It becomes you might as well make the game 4-on-4. You know, at that point, you're constantly having a guy in the box. Maybe they want to take that route and give the guys a little more room to show their skills and their agility with the puck and their defensive ability too. So you're going to get more goals, that's for sure.
Well, Glenn Anderson, I want to put you on the spot before we let you go, and we're going to see you again Saturday at Woodbine for the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament. We threw this out earlier.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It was great.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. You were a former Oiler, former Leaf. Now, you're known as an Oiler. You won a bunch of cups there. Didn't get the chance to win a cup in Toronto. If you could only choose one team to win a cup this season, who would you pick, the Oilers or the Leafs?
That'd be a great final. If you could have it.
It would be.
God, that's a tough question.
You got to answer it, Glenn.
You guys are, you know what? I would have to go to every game, no question about it. And I'm sure I would want the better team to win. So I wouldn't want to go into a series like that, and you know, some bad calls were made, or you know, guys got hurt, unfortunate mistakes were made, goalie had a bad night, whatever it might be. I would just like to see the best team win and take the championship home. And I mean, long time for both teams. And I hope they both get there, especially this year.
Glenn, you got to pick a team. You sound like a coach.
You know what? Just say the Rangers or say St. Louis. You played for those organizations. You can get out of this.
I don't know. Will the KHL play for the World Championship against the NHL ever?
Could happen.
I don't know.
I think that's a long way of saying you want the Leafs to win this year. We'll put you down for the Leafs.
They got a great shot at it.
They do.
No doubt about it.
We're looking forward to it. We'll see you down there on Saturday.
Sounds good. Looking forward to seeing you guys, too.
There he is.
Thanks, Glenn.
Glenn Anderson, Hall of Famer, 6-time Stanley Cup champ. You heard it here first. He'd take the Leafs over the Oilers.
He gave the political answer.
Yeah, I was looking for more of a
direct answer.
He says,
I want the Leafs to win. All of a sudden, that runs on SportsCenter, and his name's Mudd in Edmonton.
Yeah, people freak out in Edmonton. This Saturday at Woodbine, again, you can go to tsn1050.ca and continue to make donations on behalf of Team Overdrive. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. Ray Ferraro coming up, Herm Edwards on the show, Jim Popp later in the afternoon. The Argos with a big home game this Saturday with the Alouettes in town. We're looking forward to teeing that game up with Jim Popp around 6:40. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Ray's coming up in about 15 minutes. Herm Edwards, former NFL player, coach, ESPN analyst, the Thursday Nighter. We're going to get Herm to sell you on why you should be tuning into the Thursday Nighter tonight. Not the most compelling matchup on paper.
The no guy?
49ers versus the Rams.
You know what he's going to say? You play to win the games.
I do want to see Jared Goff. Like, this is a first overall pick who has been given more leash than any other first overall pick in any league I can think of. Like, he didn't play at all last year. They get rid of the coach. They're bringing a new coach. He had a very good week one. And I keep hearing people that are like, well, he actually looks like he's pretty good. No, he went first overall. Like, yeah, what do you expect?
He should be a superstar.
Over Wentz. You go first overall, you are either superstar or bust. If you're even an average player, you did not meet expectations.
Manning or Ryan Leaf, you pick.
You pick.
You should be.
Like, yeah. If you're average, you didn't meet expectations. You just didn't.
No
good for
way.
You. You still had a career. You made money. But first overall pick in any draft, you have to hit that out of the park, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So we'll focus on Jared Goff tonight. And I guess Niners fans have been pretty disgruntled with ownership for a while, and their team's been pretty bad for a couple of years. No one is showing up to the park. Like, no one was at that game last week. And I was reading before we came on, you can get tickets for like $14-15 to the game.
Well, why, though? Then why'd they go there?
Well, this is in San Fran.
Oh, in San Fran,
yeah.
You mean?
I thought in L.A., no one's showing up either.
That's what I thought you meant, because I saw some crowds there, and that's garbage, too.
They had more fans at the USC, I think it was Texas, the USC game.
Right.
Had whatever, 80,000 fans or something. More fans at the college game than both of the NFL games combined.
I saw that.
The Chargers and Rams both played in L.A. last weekend. Combined, they had less people than the college game.
But that is garbage.
College game, people, well, the college students go there.
Didn't San Diego sell out every game?
I don't remember if they did that. I don't know if they had like a streak of sellouts, but clearly they made a mistake leaving San Diego.
Right.
Like, the Rams are having a tough time getting back into L.A. The Chargers have no shot. It doesn't feel like it's ever going to work there. Ray's coming up. Herm Edwards on selling us on this game tonight. Niners-Rams. And we've got some audio that we want to get to of a radio host in New York that lost his mind. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.